You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode number 372 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, August 30th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter as always at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. We can find links to every single episode. And of course, make sure you are checking out the Locked On Podcast Network, not just NBA. Of course, we have all 30 NBA teams covered for you. We've got Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd, which is rolling really well right now with team previews with all the different hosts from across the network. I'll be on next week with the Raptors preview on Locked On Fantasy with Josh. And of course, Locked On NBA is still running daily with hosts from across the network providing their own takes on the league on a daily basis. And, of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On NFL shows as well. The NFL season is getting close. If you have a team you're interested in, if you have a storyline you're interested in, if you want to hear about Aaron Rodgers' new big-ass contract, go check out Locked On Packers and get all the information you need there. And we also have a college network launching as well. We have a whole bunch of teams covered so far. We got Locked On Kentucky, Locked On Baylor, Locked On... just so many schools you can't even count. So make sure you're checking out those schools. If you are a fan of a certain college, make sure you're checking out the corresponding show on the Locked On Podcast Network. And Locked On NFL as well is daily, and we have Matt Williamson hosting that show with a lot of great guests, including Mike Sando from ESPN on Thursdays. We got Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback and now analyst on the shows, I believe, on Wednesdays too. So much great stuff happening across the network, so make sure you are checking out all the different shows for whatever sport you're into, whatever teams you want to be following. It's your team every day on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, on today's show, I am joined by Chris Manning, our old pal from Locked On Cavs. Obviously, a bit of a different context from our usual chats, where we talk about how the Raptors and Cavs used to stack up. Not so much a question anymore, but on this show, we sort of did a bit of August content, I suppose, and we went through the Eastern Conference teams and kind of power ranked how interested we are in them. It was a pretty fun exercise. We made it into a two-part podcast as well because we went pretty long. So I'll get to the first part here with myself and Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs. Please make sure you're following myself on Twitter at WoodleySean. Follow Chris at CWMWrites for all of his content as well. Does a great job covering the Cavs, and he should have a chance to do some pretty cool stuff covering the Cavs this year now that they're back and don't have LeBron hanging around the team anymore. Should be a good way for some different guys in that team to kind of shine a little bit, and Chris will be doing a very good job of making that happen. So make sure you're checking out Chris's show and his podcast and his writing on Fear the Sword, all the stuff that Chris does so well. All right, without further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Manning of Locked On Cavs about the most interesting teams and least interesting teams in the Eastern Conference ahead of the 2018-19 season. Enjoy the conversation, and part two will come out on Friday. Hey, it's Sean Woodley from Locked On Raptors.
And it's Chris Manning from Locked On Cavaliers.
We are here today to break up the long, long summer with some very summery content, Chris. First of all, how are you, man? It's been a while since we touched base.
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's been a slow summer. It's been, it feels like LeBron got this out of the way pretty quick, and we're just waiting on very trivial things at this point from a Cavs perspective. Mm. We just need to know, what David Nwaba is making, because he's, signed with the team, but no one knows what he's getting paid, and, Rodney Hood, is all he's done this summer is basically, tell people on Instagram that teams are, in fact, interested in him. So that's where we're at right now in Cleveland. How are things up in Toronto right now?
Pretty chill. Nothing happened at all. It was very relaxing and not at all.
A lot of Josh Donaldson tweets from you, I see.
Yeah, it's a lot of tweets now about, being hot all the time and baseball and Vlad Jr. And also Kawhi Leonard plays for the Raptors now, so that's cool. People who listen to my podcast will have known that I've talked about this ad nauseum, so I don't know how much I want to go into it, but yeah, it's very interesting. There's lots of different angles. Some of them are more tired and not as interesting as others, but yeah, it should be really cool. You're talking about David Nwaba. Is he like the new KJ McDaniels, where everyone thinks he's good because he had a good run with a bad team for a little bit, but is actually not that good?
I think he's actually okay. The shooting thing is concerning, but I think there's something interesting there, and just because defensively he's good and he cuts really well and just kind of plays hard, but KJ McDaniels just could, like, dunk, but he didn't, like, do actually anything well. At least David Nwaba, like, does something well. You know, he's sort of like, you know, like, Trevion Graham is sort of just, like, solid and fine, but and, like, does something good and maybe could get better. Maybe there's, like, a cap on that. But I'm ready. I'm, like, in a post-LeBron world, I'm, like, ready to, like, overthink David Nwaba's three-point shooting. Like, I'm very ready to, like, just crank out, like, 1,000 words on it and be like, oh, right, I did not probably need to spend this much time for, like, the 80 people that actually care about this. But it's a fun reality.
It is the beauty of covering a not very good team is you get to go weird, deep on weird dudes. And, like, I mean, people will maybe by the time they hear this, they might have the first of a thing that I'm doing. I'll spoil it now. I'm ranking all 218 players to have played for the Raptors. It has been a arduous process trying to rank them because about 150 of them suck ass. And there's a whole lot of David Nwaba-like players in there and probably worse. So that you'll come to enjoy it. I mean, the Cavs have had downtimes for sure, but like they've been mostly relevant for the last decade and a half. So it'll be a different but interesting year for you, I think. Trevion Graham, the Nets signed him, right? That's when the Nets signed a dude and everyone went crazy because Sean Marks is a genius, even though it's just Trevion Graham, right?
Yes. Okay. And the Cavs were interested in him, and then they ended up with David Nwaba, who, like, I'm pretty sure people would just be like, oh, that's some guy I've sort of heard of, maybe? like, that was, like, where we were at in the offseason. But, yeah, Sean Marks, the new Wizard of the NBA, based on anybody he signs.
GM Brad Stevens.
We couldn't go 5 minutes without a Celtic joke. This is like very on brand for us. Like the league may be seismically different from the last time we talked. you know, like DeMar DeRozan's relationship with the city, with the franchise in Toronto is now completely different than when we talked last time. But We can still get off Celtics jokes within 5 minutes. We're both pretty healthy, I think.
Yeah, honestly, this is maybe a bit of a sentimental podcast because I don't know when we're going to really talk ever again because the Cavs are so irrelevant. The Raptors are this fancy new glamour team with Kawhi Leonard. This might be the last time we ever talk because our podcasts were usually just like, all right, the Cavs and Raptors are both good. How do they stack up? We'll have to get creative with how our podcasts intertwine. Which I think is what we're doing on today's show. I think we are helping to fill the content void. We're going to go through the Eastern Conference teams and not necessarily rank them by like where they're going to finish in the standings, but more just sort of like power rank how interesting they are to us. And we'll just kind of go through, we'll talk about it, we'll figure out where we think they're going to finish, at least a range. It's probably a little bit early for like dead-on predictions, and also predictions are kind of boring in comparison to just like larger conversations. So are you ready to dive into the power rankings here? Do you want to go from like the least interesting to the most interesting?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. I'll kick this off. I have one team that I am just objectively not interested in watching this year. That's the Orlando Magic.
Bad take.
Look, we'll get into this, and like, there are other teams in the East that I like thought about putting like low, and like, I like Mo Bamba. I like the idea of Mo Bamba. I like the idea of Aaron Gordon. I like the idea of Jonathan Isaac from what we saw last year. I know you love Terrence Ross.
Goddamn right.
And like, yes, this team has most Bates, but I like look at this roster. Like, doesn't have like a real point guard. Has like a lot of like really athletic guys that aren't maybe good at anything yet, and I'm just like, oh, okay, that's what this team is, I guess. And like most Bates is on this team weirdly, and I have no idea what this team is going to be. They might not be the worst team. Atlanta's clearly, I think, gonna be the worst team in this conference. That's where I feel right now, but. I just like look at Orlando and like I think that's just like a mess of a roster that I like that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, I get that. I do feel bad that Mo Bamba is gonna be like looking for passes and never receiving them ever because DJ Augustine is the starting point guard for this team. Speaking of DJ Augustine and my ranking of all 218 Raptors, DJ Augustine fares out pretty terribly. In that ranking, check to see probably in like the second or third post in which you'll find him just deeply entrenched in the bottom, I don't know, bottom sixth of all-time Raptors, which is not a place you want to be. But I digress. Yeah, no, like, yeah, this is not a very, it's a very weird roster. It's like, if you're just looking at the depth chart on ESPN, first of all, Mo Spates is playing in China now, so that's a little bit less interesting. If you're a Mo Spates person, then that's less interesting. I'm not sure he's all that interesting at this point, but so they have like a million centers, power forwards, and small forwards, and just four guards in DJ Augustine, Jerian Grant, who is terrible, Evan Fournier, and Wesley Iwundu, who's like, whatever. I guess you could throw Terrence Ross in as a shooting guard. He can really play any position. He can do whatever he wants. The world is Terrence Ross's oyster. But it is a very like big, heavy roster. And like, they're going to play a lot of Nick Vucevic, which is probably less interesting than playing Mo Bamba a whole bunch. Timo Mozgov's on this team. I didn't realize that. That's cool, I guess. Yeah, maybe I'm just interested in like the way that you're interested in looking at a car accident on the highway. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be good, but it'll be like a fun type of bad.
The only Magic content I want is like a live stream of Timofey Mozgov walking around Magic Kingdom and the various Disney parks. I want nothing else. I just want like Timo hanging out at Disney. That's all I really want out of the Magic. Like, the other stuff, and like Jonathan Isaac will be cool and Mo Bamba will be cool, but like, I really just like Timo Mozgov taking his kids around Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. There really is only like one iteration of a Magic lineup that I'll definitely be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go watch that. And that's like, I mean, I guess Augustine at point guard, and then you throw Ross at the two because I love my boy Terrence Ross. You throw Aaron Gordon at the three because we're still making that happen. Jonathan Isaac at the four, and then Mo Bamba at center. And I'm like, that could be kind of fun. That could be good defensively. It probably won't score any points whatsoever, but there's like interesting jumpy dudes out there. Yeah, the Magic aren't very interesting. I'm rethinking my thought. I don't think they're the 15th most interesting team in the East. I think they're more like 12th or 13th, but I totally understand where you're coming from. My least interesting team is the Atlanta Hawks, who you just mentioned. I just do not care about the Atlanta Hawks. I'm already tired of Trae Young. Like, it's nothing against Trae Young. It's just he's one of these guys who people who follow college sports, which I'm not one of those people, just like fixate on and talk about to death, where it's like Tim Tebow almost. Obviously, I don't think Trae Young is going to be as bad as Tim Tebow was at his sport, but I just like, I'm already uninterested because he's talked about so much, if that makes any sense at all.
No, I think it does. I am a little, they're my number, it'll be around 13 for me. I get that. I am intrigued to see sort of how they try to progress in this year. And yes, they're going to be really bad. Yes, they're like going to be problematic, but like, I want to see like what John Collins does in year two. I want to see what Trae Young does. I mean, I am not a big college sport person either. I've watched very little college basketball, basically the bare minimum, but I want to just see like what he is as a pro. Cause I think he's going to, if you watch him closely, I get the perception from draft nicks that are smarter than me, mm-hmm. that he's going to like change sort of the perception of like what he is. He's obviously a very good shooter. That's what he's going to be known for, but he's like, regardless, a very good passer. And I want to see how that works with John Collins. Mm-hmm. And also just like Vince Carter's on this team, at age 41. And if he throws down like just some random dunk, I really just like don't want to miss it. Like any team that has like Vince Carter and or Richard Jefferson on it for like random old man dunk potential, that team just gets a little bump in my book.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I'm kind of resentful that Vince Carter keeps going to these dog shit teams, because I'd rather he just go somewhere where he can be like a fun bench hand on a good team and like actually have a chance to win.
Would he be welcome back in Toronto? Would that be cool?
Yeah, it's all been it's all good now. He had the game a few years ago when he came with Memphis, and he got a big standing O and a tribute and stuff, and that kind of seemed like the burying of the hatchet. And the Carter effect is out now. It's kind of like the closing of the book on the whole thing, even though I have some real problems with the Carter effect. I'll maybe do a podcast about the Carter effect, even though it's a year old now and probably not all that relevant. But yeah, the documentary is not that
August.
Well done.
You do what you want. September, August, do what you want.
Yeah, it's not like the most well done doc in the world, and it's very much like about the brands, but I just wish Vince had gone. Yeah, he could have come to the Raptors. Like, I would have preferred him than Greg Monroe, to be honest, even though the Raptors have a million wings. Like, I would have rather have that kind of, or even, I think the Raptors still have like a roster spot. Bring in Vince for that roster spot. I don't care. He's not going to play. If he understands he's not going to play, then cool. I mean, I guess he wants to play, which is why he keeps going to the Kings and the Hawks and all these crap teams. But just come on, Vince, get yourself a title, buddy, and or at least like a nice playoff run where you can maybe be a factor in a game or two, just not on this stupid Hawks team. Because God, they're just so John Collins, cool. I don't really, I'm not all that compelled by John Collins, to be honest. He does rebounds good. Okay, Torian Prince, I guess, was like their best player last year. Is that fair to say?
Maybe Brad Rowland would like know better. That seems like this is like spending a lot of time on like Cardiff or something. If we're talking about the Premier League, I will say the Hawks would be my number 14. I'm going to put them second to last because they're going to be objectively just really bad.
Okay, yeah.
So who would be your number 14?
The Nets. I don't care about the Nets at all. That's a very anti-NBA Twitter take to have, but I just don't give a damn about this team.
No, I think they're my number 13, and yeah. I appreciate what they're doing. Let me say this with a caveat. Like, I appreciate, like, what they're doing and, like, the way they have built out of a, like, completely abomination, right? Like, Joe Harris back on a cheap deal makes a lot of sense. Like, they have a lot of culture guys. Like, they play hard. Like, maybe Kenneth Reed will be decent for them this year, you know? I like Caris LeVert. I like D'Angelo Russell. Like, even though he's maybe not that good, kind of just fascinates me a little bit. They've Ed Davis, and Ed Davis is like a very, very solid.
I do love Ed Davis. That's true.
Yeah, shout out to Ed Davis. But like, I just can't imagine this team's gonna play hard, and I can't imagine this team isn't much more than what they were last year, which is like that annoying, really team that plays really hard and plays really smart and is in games even though they're really not that good, and that is just like very possible to me that. That is all they are, and there's something just limiting and interesting they are. I will probably enjoy watching them because they will probably like play harder than like the Kings or the Hawks and things like that, but there's a limit on what they are, and I just feel like there aren't that many interesting outcomes for them, and that's sort of like my problem with the Nets.
Yeah, and I just think there's no interesting players that like you tune into a game to watch. Like, even like the Kings, they have some, like Buddy Hield's kind of fun, and who'd they draft this year? They drafted somebody, I don't know. God.
Oh, Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, Marvin Bagley would be kind of interesting. He probably has higher upside than anyone on the Nets right now. Like, they're just kind of just like a bunch of dudes, like, who I think at best grade out as, like, nice role players on the next good Nets team. And, like, maybe Jarrett Allen will be better than that. Maybe Caris LeVert can be better than that. But I'm not really investing all that much time in watching those two grow. If it happens, cool. Good for the Nets. Talk to me when they have like a real first round pick and they can get a real player, and that's kind of the end of my take on the Nets. Like, they're just, I know they're the sexy NBA Twitter team that everyone loves because they shoot 43s a game, but they also only hit like 10 of those a game, so I don't really care. Who's your 13 team? Oh, the Nets are your 13th team.
It'd be the Nets, right? So who would be your number 13?
My number 13. It's probably the Hornets, even though I think they'll finish much higher than 13. Like, this isn't a standings thing. I just don't care about the Hornets. I like Kemba Walker. I think he maybe is a little bit overrated in terms of his overall impact on winning. I think he's a very talented player. But, like, at some point, something has to, like, there has to be some point of blame for why the Hornets always underperform their Pythagorean record or whatever. And I'm not sure if it's Kemba, but, like, I'm not certain it's not Kemba. He's good. He's efficient, I suppose. But I don't know. They're not very good in the clutch times. I feel bad talking about Kemba like this because it's probably not his fault. It's just a bad roster with a bunch of bad white centers. But I don't know. I'm just so mad on the Hornets. And they should be so much more than that. They seem like they were kind of onto something a couple years ago. And then it all kind of fell apart. And maybe Steve Clifford leaving is all they need, and maybe he'll go, you know, infect the Magic with an inability to win close games. Maybe that's all it was, but I just, the Hornets are, like, they owe so much money to a bunch of dudes who are just kind of fine. Like, good job, you got off of Dwight's money, but, like, I don't know, are you expecting Nick Batum to really have a big bounce back from last season? When he wasn't even particularly, like, hurt, he was just, like, not very good. And you have Marvin Williams, like, still doing his thing. I still don't buy Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I really like the Miles Bridges pick for them, and I hope that he can kind of become kind of good. But, like, I don't know. They're just a whole, like, a lot like the Nets. Just no one on their team really interests me all that much.
Yeah, I think my number 12. So, like, we're kind of just knocking these off in similar order because we're a hive mind. But, like, what stands out to me as interesting about them, and at least that maybe puts them above other teams for me, is number one, they have a new coach. They have this coach, James Borrego, I believe it comes from the Spurs background. That is interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be very, very weird to see Tony Parker in another jersey. Yeah. And, like, there is shock value in that that I just, like, will probably take 10, 11 games of watching them to sort of get used to. But you're right. Like, what about this team basketball-wise actually is interesting. The system and how Kemba fits into that and how maybe he gets unlocked in some way will be interesting. You know, if things go really bad there, do they try to do a bunch of trades and things like that? Like, that to me is, like, sort of the most interesting thing. Like, do they trade Kemba somewhere at the deadline in an effort to, like, get something in return as he goes into – gets closer to free agency? Like, that is in itself just an interesting – question. And but everything else there is just kind of, it's all fine. The problem with the East is that, like, it's not just, like, very kind of soft at the bottom, and with some of the teams that are, like, even going to be maybe worse than Charlotte that we maybe find more interesting, they're all just kind of, like, there. Like, they don't really, yeah. Like, the West, for all of the nuttiness that's going to go on out there, they are much, the West is a much, seems like the much more ambitious, or at least smartly ambitious conference.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I have nothing else to say on the Hornets. I think they're blah. I hope Bismack Biyombo gets all of his money, and I hope he's good. If he's not, I'm glad he got paid. And it's funny that the Hornets are paying him right now, because they wouldn't do that back in the day. Who's your number 12 least interesting team?
So Charlotte would be my number 12. We go back to you. Who is your number 12?
My number 12, I think, is the Miami Heat, mostly because... like, we know exactly what the Heat are, right? They're just, like, a very 500-y team that's going to overperform a little bit because they try really hard and are really well-coached and have a lot of decent players who aren't particularly good. And then they're going to get their asses handed to them in the first round by a team that actually has star players. Like, that's just – I feel like I can already predict how the Heat season is going to play out. So that's why they're probably – like, they're better – they're going to make the playoffs, and they're better than a lot of these teams, but – I just feel like I know them better than pretty much any team in the conference. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. I look at Miami, and I have – they're a little higher most, so we'll get to – I won't spoil that. But yeah. For me, I agree. Like, they are just what they are. Like, this is a capped-out team that didn't make any significant moves. They are – they have – basically their biggest thing that's coming back is getting a year or two of Bam Adebayo, and you're going to get a healthy Deion Waiters, who was very good at, you know, at the back end of the – of that, you know, 2 years ago when they had that crazy run, and he, I believe, was part of that group, and he got paid as a result, but then was hurt a lot last year. So, like, could you get those two guys back, or, you know, year two of Bam, get Deion back, do you get more progression, you know, just waiting to keep things up, to, you know, to maybe Hassan Whiteside is a little bit better this year, and, you know, there will be, we don't know what Dwayne Wade's doing yet, and Dwayne Wade is not what he was, but there is probably, to me, some... nostalgia in watching him maybe making one last run, and there will be it won't quite be like the for Dirk, I guess, and if these are their last 2 years for both of them, but and they'll be a little different, but it'll be sort of interesting if this is the last ride for Dwayne. What does that look like? What kind of situations does he get put in? You know, what kind of role does he play? That in itself, if this is the farewell for him, if he isn't going to retire, because again, it's August 29th, we don't know. That, to me, adds a little bit of intrigue that, like, some of these other teams that are similarly predictable don't really have.
Right, right. I think a big part of the reason why I don't like the Heat is because Hassan Whiteside, to me, is, like, the least most enjoyable player to watch in the entire NBA.
100% agree. He is. There's just nothing about him that I'm like, yes.
He's just, like... It's like if a dude, like, one of those commercials where there's, like, a rain cloud just hanging over somebody because they have a cold. Like, Hassan Whiteside always has a cold. It's just like it. He's just a bummer to watch, man.
He's a bummer to watch. Like he doesn't like fit in with anyone else really on that roster in terms of how they play. I'd rather them just like play Bam and Kelly Olynyk at the five,
yeah,
exclusively and be done with it. But like they're paying him a lot of money for some reason, and like he basically has to play. But it doesn't like mesh with anything else that they do. So it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, it sucks that he's in the way of Bam, because Bam is awesome, even though I have ill will towards him because he hurt Fred VanVleet in the last game of the season last year with a probably illegal screen, but that's fine. No big deal.
Summer mixtape Bam has also just been a lot. Like, the stuff he's been – you see, like, the highlight tapes of him, like, doing pull-up threes and stuff. I'm just like, give me more Bam, please.
Yeah, he had another game against the Raptors, too, last year where he absolutely torched them, so – I as much as it's terrifying to go up against him, he's very awesome. And also Josh Richardson, man, like he's kind of slept on as a very good player. Like, I feel like there are a lot of dudes, like, on the Nets who are bad and not as good as Josh Richardson who get less love. Like, I think Caris LeVert gets as, like, as talked about as Josh Richardson, even though Josh Richardson's, like, very good and might be their best all-around player at this point. Maybe he got more love by the end of the season, but, like, he's good. But also, like, if Josh Richardson is your best player, I'm not particularly all that fascinated by your team. So I guess that's why I have them number 12. Who's your number 11?
My number 11 is going to be the Detroit Pistons.
Okay.
I sense that they might be a little bit different for you because, like, the Dwayne Casey factor, I think, probably adds, like, some intrigue for you there. But for me, I just feel like I sort of know what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, Dwayne is going to coach them really well, but, like, so much of their value and, like, potential is tied up in how healthy Blake is going to be and, like, how good Andre Drummond is, and I just feel like we sort of know how that plays out. Like, I feel like a team that is, like, banking on that Stanley Johnson progression, that is, you know, like, banking on Blake Griffin being healthy, banking on Drummond, you know, hitting threes, which he says he could do or whatever, like, that isn't super inspiring to me or something particularly interesting. Kyrie Thomas is interesting-ish based on the profile. You know, I some people really like Luke Kennard. Some of what Luke Kennard did as a rookie, that's fine. I just look at this team and I'm just kind of like, okay. And I just feel like we know that, like, Blake's gonna have an injury, miss 20 or so games, and they're gonna, like, be an 8 seed. And the highlights, you know, that put them above other teams and speaks to the quality of the East that they're sort of here. But I just don't really understand what's going to be super appealing about this team play. I'm super here for Jose Calderon still being in the NBA. But that's not enough.
Yeah, he's definitely taking Reggie Jackson's job pretty quickly, I think. And also Ish Smith.
Made the Cavs better last year, I'm just saying.
Yeah, because Jose Calderon's the goddamn truth. And no starting point guard has ever withstood his wrath. Like, even Kyle Lowry didn't become a starter until Jose got traded. He's undefeated. There have been so many point guards who he has just, like, cut down in their primes because he's Jose Calderon. I'm with you on the Pistons not being all that interesting. I think probably the Dwayne thing bumps them up my list a little bit. But, yeah, like, they're not going to be amazing. I also think they're going to just, like, fall into the playoffs because that's what's going to happen in the East. And I'm fully expecting a 2-7 Raptors-Pistons matchup. I have it written down somewhere. It's definitely happening. And it's going to be fun because we'll actually get to find out who is at fault for all of the Raptors' woes in the playoffs. And I have a feeling the answer is going to be DeMar DeRozan. So we won't actually see the culprit in that series. But my number 11. Oh God! Now there's so many uninteresting teams. This is the problem. I think my number 11 is probably the Knicks, even though I think the Knicks are going to be interesting in the next couple years. I just think without Kristaps for the first part of the year, they kind of lose a little bit of juice for me. What about you?
I have them slightly higher, and it's basically because, like, what do they look like without Kristaps? And, like, I like Frankie Smokes. Like, Kevin Knox was fun in summer league, and I want to see, like, what David Fizdale does with them. Like, at least, like, I really like Fizdale, and yeah. I want to see what he does with them. But that's, like, a fair pick because, like, Kristaps is the drawing attraction here, right? Like, he is the reason to turn into Knicks games because that dude's a star, but, like, we have no idea when he's going to play. Mm-hmm. He could come back and play, like, 40 games and that's it, but that's, like, 40 games of, like, Kevin Knox and Emmanuel Mudiay and Frankie Smokes, like, brick jumpers, and, like, that's not fun, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, like, very particularly fun about that. But you're right, like, it is we're in sort of the part of the conference where it's, like, just kind of a mess. And, like, I think the Knicks here is pretty reasonable.
Oh, crap. I have to change my ranking on the fly here and bump the Knicks up at least one spot because I forgot they have Mario Hezonja now. Mario Hezonja playing at MSG, that instantly makes them more interesting to me. So they're going to be my number 10. I'm going to make the Cavs my number 11. I'm sorry, I know you're a Cavs boy, but, like, I am interested to see how they, like, bounce back from losing LeBron, but also I kind of know what all these dudes are, and I just think it's going to be not a very good team. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I'd like to see them make the playoffs. I think that'd be a cool story, but I don't think they will. Colin Sexton might be interesting and, like, has, like, a crazy work ethic and is nuts and is a maniac, but I just...
He's insane.
Yeah.
He, like, literally, it's, like, listeners out there, I have a Q&A with him coming out in about 2 weeks. The dude eats Skittles before every game. And he's like, I just like gets my blood flowing. I'm like, okay, Colin, that's fine.
That just make sure he doesn't become Dwight, where he only eats Skittles for every meal.
Seems a little more intense than Dwight.
He does have like the opposite demeanor of Dwight. Get to Dwight.
Dwight has never like sat like squatted down into a defensive stance and like glared at Josh Hart. So like never has done that. So we're at my number. Are we at my number 9 now?
No, we need your 10 because Knicks at. I moved them up to 10 and have the Cavs 11.
Okay, so we'll talk more about the Cavs when I get there because we'll focus a lot on the Cavs and Raptors because this is a Cavs and Raptors crossover. But my number 10. This is where I'd slot the Heat. This is just like they're fine. Like this is where they are.
Yeah.
I would then slot just your head. I would then slot the Knicks at number 9.
Okay.
They would be at 9 for me. And that's just sort of just because like Fizdale and yada yada yada. But like if I knew Kristaps was gonna play like 60-something games, I would bump them up above some of these other teams.
That's fair. Yeah. No, I agree. I think the Knicks would be kind of a sneaky playoff contender if Kristaps was there, because I don't think it's a bad team per se. Like they don't have much of a point guard, but like they at least have like maybe Moutier figures it out. Trey Burke was like kind of okay at the end of the season last year, and I don't really trust that to continue, but like they have decent players. Like Courtney Lee's still there, he's always good. Frankie Smokes, like you said, even like Lance Thomas is like a third string around this team, he's still kind of useful. Like there are guys, it's just the point guard issue and not having Kristaps is why they stay at 10 for me and don't move up to like 5 or 6, because I think they could if they were with Kristaps for the whole season. My number 9, oh god, now we're into the real crap here. I guess let's go with maybe the Pacers. Is that a bad take?
No, because I think adding Tyreek is really interesting, and like Caitlin Cooper wrote a really good piece in Indie Cornrows about this that like pushed them a little higher on my list actually.
Mm-hmm.
So much of their like interest to me this season depends on if they can just be what they were last year.
Yeah,
and like that means just like holding steady in terms of the numbers. It's like
just don't terribly regress.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like Tottenham in the Premier League, it's like they literally, like, Spurs did nothing, and you're just like, well, you're banking on them, like, holding steady. And basically, aside from Tyreek and, like, I guess Kylo Quinn.
And Doug McDermott, baby.
Oh, I forgot about Doug. That's fine. $22 million for Doug McDermott's, like, really, really wild.
Yeah.
Is Victor Oladipo, basically, this whole season to me hinged on two things for them. Like, is Victor Oladipo for real? Can he do that again? And, like, what does Miles Turner look like? And everything else just sort of is, like, an ancillary question.
Yeah. Actually, I think I'm going to change where I have the Pacers. I'm not going to put them quite at 9 because I think they are more interesting to me and I want to watch them more because Lance Stevenson's not there and I'm so sick of Lance Stevenson being glorified as some hero player. I'm so done with it. I think for me, probably then I would slot the Bulls 9? Is that...
I have the Bulls at 8. And here,
okay,
like,
yeah. I'll go Bulls 9 then.
Because, like, it's a weird group. And, like, that's, like, enough. Like, they're going to be really bad. They're not going to be able to defend anybody.
Oh, they're going to – their games are going to be extremely high scoring. Like, if you're doing, like, daily fantasy, just pick Bulls games.
They're going to try to play Jabari Parker at the 3. Like, that is, like, going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like feel really bad for Fred Hoiberg because this is like not like any roster he's had has like no real fit with like what he would like seemingly like to do based on his college career. Like I like Wendell Carter. He was really interesting at Summer League. Like, but like you're going to be playing like Markkanen was really interesting last year and like they have campaign, but like this is like a weird roster and like they're just going to score a lot and be terrible at defense and like that, but that, like, at least, like, there is, like, upside in Carter, and Parker, and Markkanen, and Zach LaVine, and what does he look like coming back from the ACL, that some of these teams, I think, below them, like, even if this is a worse team than a lot of the teams we've already talked about, there's just, like, more interesting upside questions about this Bulls team than, a lot of the other teams down, like, that we've talked about lower.
Yeah, like, I'm not convinced they're not going to make the playoffs. That's probably a little ambitious, but I think Laurie's really good. I think Wendell Carter has a chance to be kind of good right away, even though Robin Lopez is in front of him. But Robin Lopez is pretty good. It's like a nice, steady player to have. And, like, I guess maybe this all hinges on Chris Dunn. Because if he's what he is last year, like, that's a nice player, but he's not really changing your life. If he can kind of step it up a little bit more, just be, like, a bit more of, like, a sort of all-encompassing lead guard who can kind of carry the offense a little bit, maybe create a shot a little bit more. Maybe that kind of puts them over the edge as a team that can just hang in shootouts as opposed to a team that's going to lose a lot of shootouts. And maybe that gets them to like 36, 37 wins, and that's probably good enough for the 8th seed. Like, I don't think it's out of the question that they can make the playoffs. I don't know. Do you think that's a hot take?
No, I mean, it just depends on like what the East is. Like, I think sort
it's going
it
to be bad, Chris. It's going to be bad.
Well, yeah, but like let's say the Hornets are like better, more competent, and well coached, and like good defensively. Like maybe that dooms the Bulls, right? Like maybe Parker is just like a terrible fit at the three. Like that to me seems pretty possible. And like he has like a half of recorded trying on defense time in the NBA.
Yeah, like if you're looking at last year's playoff teams, I think there's probably only one spot up for grabs if everything kind of goes to plan, and that's the Cavs. And then it's probably between the Pistons, Hornets, and Bulls, right? And maybe, like, yeah, those are the three teams I would say are probably in the running. Maybe the Bulls are the third favorite of those teams, but I think the Bulls are clearly better than the Knicks, Nets, Magic, and Hawks, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I think at least, like, just the scoring potential, like, puts them above them.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bulls are my number nine. Number eight for me, I think I'm missing a team that I should have in here already, but I'm not sure. Number eight's probably, this is probably where I'll put the Pacers, I guess. I'll put the Pacers at eight. They, we've covered it. They are kind of the same team. Oladipo, hopefully he can be good again, and I'll watch a lot of Oladipo because he's awesome, but I don't, like, they're not anything new and sexy and exciting, so that's probably why I've graded them down a little bit. Who do you have at number eight? Okay, that is the end for part one of the podcast with myself and Chris Manning. For part two, come back on Friday for teams, I guess, 8 through 1? It's kind of a convoluted ranking we're at right now. But the last part of the conversation, we'll get to teams like the Raptors, for example, and the Bucks, and a bunch of other squads that are far more interesting than the teams we just talked about. So stay tuned, and we'll be back tomorrow with the conclusion of this podcast with myself and Chris Manning.